Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
The Lord said to Mary Magdalene, "Go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. We gather today to celebrate the feast day of Saint Mary Magdalene, who Pope Francis is promoting very much in our church right now, in a beautiful way because of her radical conversion, but also because she holds the pride of place of being the one who brought the good news to the apostles, a woman, right? Jesus appears to her first, and she goes and tells the guys to get on it. Anyways, we celebrate her great feast today as we are also on retreat, knowing that we need to find time to seek the Lord out ourselves. So let's first of all call to mind all the things that stop or prevent or hinder us in any way from receiving God's grace fully in this sacrament, both in His Word and in His Eucharist, as we call to mind our sins. The Lord be with you. Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they put him." Mary stayed outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord. There are two things that Mary Magdalene teaches us by her witness, and those two things are to seek and to share. In the gospel story today, we hear John's account of Mary Magdalene on the day of the resurrection. In fact, we only hear part of it. There's like a moment where, so the gospel story goes, she goes to the tomb, he's not there, she comes back and tells Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loves, who is John, right, the author. He is not going to call himself out in his writings. And so she tells them, "They've taken the body of Jesus. I don't know where they've put him." And then we just jump into, she remains outside the tomb, right? So there's a little pericope that the church has cut out of this gospel story just to shorten it, probably, because most Catholics like that. Anyways, so as we hear this story from John's gospel of Mary Magdalene going to the tomb and then of the appearance of Christ to her, we hear one version from the gospels of what happens. In John's gospel, as we heard today, Mary goes, finds nothing, and returns. When she returns, she tells the apostles, "Go check it out too." And then they go back together, and then the apostles, Peter and John, they leave. In fact, you guys know who got there first? It's Peter, John, and Mary Magdalene. Who got to the tomb first, you know? Who's the youngest? John. He can run faster than Peter can, right? Peter's an old man. So he goes to the tomb first, but he waits when he gets there, and Peter goes in, and it's empty. And then Mary Magdalene waits behind as the apostles go back into town. As Mary Magdalene is standing there or sitting there outside the tomb waiting, all of a sudden, two men appear to her in white, and she says, "If you've taken the body, just give it back." And then Jesus appears behind her in a way that she can't recognize him. And when she sees him, she mistakes him for the gardener and says, "Please just give me the body back." And when Jesus says her name, then her eyes are open and she knows. And then Jesus instructs her, now that she has sought him, to go and share him with others. And so she does. This morning, as I was preparing for the homily, I thought, I'm going to go look at what the other gospel authors also say about Mary Magdalene in this story. There's three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that are called the synoptic gospels. And those three share most of their content in common. John's gospel is written separately and is very much different than the other three gospels. So if you're ever looking for like just the story, you know, go to like Matthew, or Mark is the shortest, go to Mark, or Luke. Those three kind of have the most of the parables and stories and stuff. But John's is more of a theological commentary. So I thought, well, if this is more of a theological commentary, what do Matthew, Mark, and Luke say about this moment? Or do they say anything? And every story is different. In Matthew's gospel, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go to the tomb. When they arrive, the guards are still there. An angel comes down from heaven in dazzling, blinding white, pushes this giant stone back. The guards are struck dumb. They can't move. They're frozen stiff. And the angel says, Jesus is risen. He's not here. Go tell everybody else. And they take off. That's Matthew's version. Mark's version, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and another person, all three go to the tomb. The guards are already gone, and when they get there, there's one angel inside the tomb and says, Jesus is not here, go tell the other people that Jesus is now raised. In Luke's version of the gospel, of the story, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, this other person from Mark's gospel, and other disciples, men and women, or doesn't specify, so it could be either one, they all go to the tomb, and this time they find two people sitting in the tomb waiting on them to tell them, hey, Jesus is gone, go back to town. But they don't know if they're angels. They're just two people dressed in white. I don't like that. Maybe because I'm a German farm kid or a little bit OCD, I wish that all of the stories were the same. What happened, right? What happened? Who went to the tomb first? Was it a group, or was it just Mary, or just the two Marys? When they got there, did they see Jesus or not? Were the guards still there, or were they gone? Did the angel come down while they were there and move the stone? Were the stone already gone? As I was praying about that this morning, as I made a holy hour here, I was praying about the inconsistencies of the scriptures in that sense. And we call that the problem of the gospels, is how do you reconcile things that don't seem the same? Another example, I think we're going to hear either this weekend or next weekend, is the multiplication of loaves and fishes. And one gospel says they fed like 4,000 people. One says way, way more than 4,000. And one says this many loaves and fish. And then another one says this many loaves and fish. Or one gospel says they go from this side of the Jordan River to this side of the Jordan River to work the miracle. Another gospel says it went the other way and he worked it over here. Which is true. You know, it also says in the book of Genesis that on the first day, God made separated light and darkness, right? But the world was not formed yet. And so how long did that day take if the world's not formed yet? So we, as Catholic Christians, what we believe in the church is that it's not so much the literal interpretation of most of the Bible that we hang on for our faith, but what it teaches us about our belief and about the revelation of God. So for example, the Genesis story is whatever a day is in God's mind, that's what it took, right? You know, it could be thousands of years or millions of years, whatever day it took. Likewise, in this gospel story, we can reconcile and say, what are the elements that matter the most? And the elements that matter the most is what she did, in fact. Because in the ancient Near East, Mary Magdalene was nobody. In fact, we hear in the gospel story, I don't think it's this one, I think it's a different one, that Jesus had cast out seven devils from her when he met her. Seven. In other words, a perfect number of spirits. She had done everything possible wrong in her life before she met the Lord. And Jesus got rid of all of it. He purified her entirely of all of the evil that dwelt within her, of all of her sinful past. And perhaps it's a good lesson for us. Get rid of your baggage, folks, before you go to the Lord, or you won't be able to hear him or see him. So she's the one who gets called forth. She feels it in her heart to go forward to find Jesus at the tomb after he'd been laid in there. And when she gets there, after having seeking him, in this story anyway, the lesson, the moral we learn, is that she doesn't leave. Peter and John head back to town to tell other people about the body being gone. Perhaps they're going back to say they stole him. Perhaps they're going back to say it's true. Perhaps they're going back to just have their jaw drop with no words of expression at all. But either way, Mary Magdalene teaches us that even a woman with no standing in society who had done all the things wrong in her life, she knows what to do next. She stays. She stays. Many of us, when we go to pray, we're asking God for any number of things. Fix my marriage, or at least help me understand my spouse or tolerate them sometimes. Sometimes we go to God and say, my aunt or my loved one or my child is suffering, heal them. Sometimes we go to God and say, I don't know what move to make next in my career or how to guide my students in this way. I don't know how to reconcile how to vote in politics or whether or not to get the vaccine. We go to God with every possible question that plagues us. And most of the time, when we're sitting there, we don't see him, like Mary Magdalene didn't. The tomb is empty. The answers seem empty. What Mary Magdalene teaches us is that in our seeking, we must likewise stay put. Because if we remain, Jesus might appear. And if he appears, he'll send us out. The second thing, and I'll end with this, that Mary Magdalene teaches us across the gospel stories, but especially today, is that she is sent on mission. It's insufficient as a Christian to encounter the Lord, to know him, or to feel his grace, and to stay silent. In fact, I would say one of the biggest things that you're purged from in purgatory as you make your way from this world to the next is your lack of getting the good news out. As Catholics, I think we're probably notoriously bad at this historically. Protestants stand on street corners and proclaim the gospel. They're always telling people about, you know, what we often forget to do as Catholics is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. We do. We keep it to ourselves. Our faith is very deep and therefore often private. But we need to likewise bring it out to the world. The only reason Jesus appears to her today is to send her out. He doesn't say, let's stop and have lunch, or let's recount some stories, or I want to come live in your house, or I want to visit your family. He says, now that you've seen me, tell the world. Get out. In fact, the last words you hear at every Mass are, go forth and announce the God. Get out of church and go bring what you got here to other people. And when you come back in, we measure. Did you share or not? As we celebrate the feast day of St. Mary Magdalene today, let not the factual, literal interpretations of the gospel bog you down, but instead learn from her witness that we need to seek the Lord above all, to stay put while we're seeking, and finally, not to miss the chance to share what we have received from our God with everyone else too.